The past few Sunday mornings, we've been preaching to you about the King James Bible. You know, as I think about this, I believe that God knows exactly which Bible is the right one. He says in the book of Hebrews 10, verse number 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." You know, God knows what book is his. And God also knows what book is Satan's counterfeit book. God wants us to understand that his word, his will, that his way is the absolute best way for us to ever follow. But Satan, on the other hand, he has all kinds of devices that he's wanting to confuse us. He's wanting to mix us up, and Satan is wanting to do anything he can possibly do to cause us to be confused. In the book of Matthew 22, in verse number 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." These people, they didn't understand exactly who God was. And they could never get that by themselves or by their learning. It is simply a matter of trusting Jesus Christ and His Word and His way. God wants us to always trust Him, never to trust our own logic or our own reasonings at all. This is why this is so very important that we just rely only upon the Lord. Notice in John 14, verse number 6, Jesus says unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." This verse plainly declares that there's only one way of salvation. That is, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God. However, Satan presents many different ways of his salvation. That's a false salvation. All of his assurances are simply false. They give no hope at all. But notice, this battle that Satan has started a long time ago. Look in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and verse number 16 that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now what did God say? God said to Adam, he said to the man, he said that in the day ye eat the forbidden fruit, you will die. That's what he means when he says, "Thou shalt surely die." What Satan is doing, though, when he talks to the woman, is directly opposite that. Notice the statement that Satan makes. In Genesis 3, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "Now the serpent was more subtle," that is, he is full of trickery, "than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Notice here in verse number 4, Genesis 3, verse number 4, that Satan only changed one word. That's all it changed. Notice in Genesis 3 and verse number 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Jesus Christ had told Adam, if you ever eat of the forbidden tree, you shall surely die. Satan said, you shall not surely die. I say to you that up until this point, there was no death upon the world. Nobody had ever died. Nothing had ever died. Nothing had ever perished. All was absolutely good. At least, that's what the Bible says in Genesis 1 and verse number 31. Where the Bible says, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. The Bible didn't say here that God looked upon all the earth and saw that it was good. No. But the Bible says that God looked upon the earth and everything that he had made. And he said, it is very good. It's as good as you can get. The thing we need to notice here is that Satan knew the command of God. And the woman knew the command of God as well. But Satan cast doubt on what God had said. Understand this very vital truth. You might know what God wants you to do. But Satan will always cause you to doubt what you know God wants you to do. He'll always do that. And when the woman listened to a little bit of a lie that Satan had given to her, he gave her some more. In Genesis 3 and verse number 4, the Bible said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And then, in verse number 5, he says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Satan only changed one little word. But think about this. God has promised to give word preservation to his word. And Satan only changed one little word. He only inserted the word not. Therefore, great changes were made in the meaning. Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies, and he will lie to you as well. Why? Because Satan wants you to always follow him and not to follow God. When the woman saw that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was pleasant to the eyes, and it was a tree to be desired to make one wise, she was deceived. She believed that Satan was right. And she took of the fruit and ate it. And sin came into the world. But, according to 1 Timothy 2, verse number 14, Adam was not deceived. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 14, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. You see, the Bible says here that Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Adam took of the fruit, and he spiritually died that very day, which caused him to die at the age of 930 years. Yes, Adam lived 930 years, but he died because of sin. If Adam had never sinned against God, he would still be alive today. There was no death until sin came into the world. This is Satan's plan. Satan's attack on the Word of God began in the Garden of Eden, and that attack continues even unto this day. As the end of time draws near, Satan is working hard to cause more and more confusion. And he is doing a wonderful job, if you can call what he does a wonderful job, because he is deceiving, and he's a liar, and he is out to deceive people, causing them not to take the Word of God for what it says, but he wants people to do what he wants them to do. The end of it all is this, is that we must believe what the Bible says, and not be fooled by the devil's lies and tactics. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." You see, the Bible says here, as time goes on, things are not getting better and better. Instead, they are getting worse and worse. The Bible said that evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. The word wax means to increase slowly. People are deceived, and people are being deceived. Believers must continue in the things they have learned and been assured of when they study the Word of God. They must know that what the Bible is saying to them is absolutely the truth. Believers must find, and that believers must continue in the old paths, remaining true to the old landmarks, if any blessings of God are to be received. Nothing new is needed, although Satan constantly cries for new things. True worshipers do not need new programs, purposes. We do not need new plans at all. Jesus Christ is who we need more than anything else. His Jesus and His own Holy Scriptures, the King James Bible. God has not changed His requirements for disciples. Believers must meet God's requirement, and God will bless His Word. Men will deceive, but God has breathed life into His Holy Scriptures. God breathed life into this creation when He breathed life into Adam when He created him, and He gave him the wife. God is the one that will bless us when we are completely without any kind of hope at all. God is the one that is our refuge. God is the one that is our only hope. God is needed, not new programs, not the excitement of this world. Churches need to preach the old-time gospel message, and God will bless His Word. It is exciting enough to believe and obey God's clear commands. Nothing of ourselves is needed. If God's Word does not excite us, then we really need some help from God. God has protected the Word He breathed, and all the confusion that Satan has brought into the world has not confused God and should not confuse the children of God. In Psalms 119, the Word of God is mentioned in every verse in this chapter. Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, the Word of God is mentioned in every verse in one way or another. The various words used to describe the Bible are the law. Sometimes the Word of God is called the testimony, or it's called the precepts, or it's called the ways, or the statutes, or the judgments, or the commandments. There's many different ways that the Word of God is referred to. Just for one of these, look in Psalms 119, verse 89 and verse number 90. The Bible said here in this place, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Listen, the Word of God that we use today should align, it must align, with the Word of God that is in heaven. That's it. There can be no confusion about this matter at all, because we're going to be judged by God. We're going to be held accountable unto God and God alone. He is going to ask us why we didn't believe His Word. We need to understand His Word is the truth. It is settled in heaven. Men down here upon this earth, they don't like it. But it is settled in heaven, the Bible says. The Word of God will remain on the earth for every generation, even our generation, and the generation living during the Great Tribulation period, Satan is trying to destroy the Word of God. But in Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus said this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." What Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35 is absolutely the truth. But Satan is always a liar. He has lied from the very beginning. He lied to the woman in the Garden of Eden. She was living in paradise. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, there was no sin at all. She had everything that a heart could even wish. And yet Satan came and told her a lie. She was deceived, and she followed the desires of Satan. And she took all the forbidden fruit. Why did she take that forbidden fruit? It's because she believed the lie that Satan said. And what was the lie? Go back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and verse number 4, when Satan said, "Ye shall not surely die." He only added one word to the statement that God had made. God had said, "Therefore thou shalt surely die if you eat any of the fruit." But Satan only changed one word. The word was "not." That's the word that he added when he said, "Ye shall not surely die." You know, some people say, "Well, that don't really count today, because after all, that was a long time ago, and people have died since I've been born, and I guess I'll die one day, and there we go," like that. But notice that all of the laws of God are still in effect today. God is perfect. God has not changed one bit. God is absolutely the same as He always was. This is what we really like about God, because He never changes at all. An unchangeable God has given to us His Word. Look in the book of Matthew 5, verse 17 through verse number 19. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must stay with the King James Bible. You must do that. You must teach exactly what God has said. And God will always bless. He always will. You see, Jesus Christ, He didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets, but He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. We have the Word of God today, but Satan is making the Word of God a real battlefield. But you know, I know that this study of the King James Bible, where it come from and all that, is a great, great study. It's a big study. When I began to study the source of the King James Bible, I found that there was more material available than I could possibly digest. One of the first things I discovered was the differences between various versions of the Bible. All right? Now, what I did was that I used a Bible program on my computer. I opened both the King James Bible and the NIV in the same screen. That made it fairly simple to make comparisons between the two versions, but it was very difficult to gaze at the computer screen for long periods of time. Also, I was comparing only two versions, the KJV and the NIV. What am I going to do with the other 100 or so versions? It was long about that time. A person told me that if I did not know Hebrew or Greek, then I would never know what God said. I thought, oh, wow. I don't even know all the rules of English. And now you're telling me I must learn Hebrew and Greek to understand the Bible. So I thought I spent years and years in school to understand the Bible. Then I'll be too old to do anything with all my knowledge. The more I thought about all that, the more it sounded like a typical satanic lie to me. Thinking of Satan's lies made me very discouraged because I have enough trouble with English, much less trying to learn a couple of other languages. So I was in a real dilemma. It seemed very unreasonable that I would have to spend all those years before I could ever begin to serve the living and the true God. Satan causes confusion and discouragement, and it almost worked with me in this regard. But I have discovered a very important point. You see, the battle is not in comparing all the verses of all of the versions. It's not that at all. It's real simple. The foundation of the entire Bible lies in the source of the King James Bible and the source of all the other Bibles. When I discovered that, it was a real breakthrough for me. I hope that it will be for you as well. The King James Bible comes from one source, and all the other versions come from another source. This really made it simple to me. There is no need to compare all of the various Bible versions. All I have to know is where a particular Bible came from. The source. God used imperfect men to write, to translate, and preserve His Bible, the perfect book. Textual critics are used of Satan to cause confusion with all their so-called expert opinions. Notice what the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. If you want things really cleared up in your mind about which Bible you should use, then read 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 33. The Bible said here in this place, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." This is a great thing, that if you would want peace in your life, if you want peace in how you need to serve God and how to do things God's way, then you need to trust the Lord. And you need to understand some very basic things. And a part of that is the foundation of the Word of God. Where does it come from? What is the source of the Bible that you're using? What is the source? If you just simply rest in the fact that God has given to us a reliable source of the King James Bible, it'll give you great peace. It'll give you great comfort to just trust the living God. Because I believe that the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God, I can truthfully say to you, I believe God gives us His Bible. I can say that. I can know it for certain, that God has given to us His Bible. I believe in verbal inspiration. But I also believe in preservation. You see, I believe the Bible was given by God. That's verbal inspiration. But I also believe that God has power to preserve His Word. Just like God saved my unworthy soul from a devil's hell. But I believe also that God is able to preserve me regardless of what happens in this life. You know, I believe that God is powerful enough. I believe He's big enough to control the smallest detail of inspiration and preservation. I believe God will and did and is using imperfect men to preserve a perfect book. I believe that. I believe God has much more power, He's got much more strength, and He's got much more ability than we could ever imagine. Why? Because God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Bible says that God said, let there be life. And there was life. This is a great thing. God did all of these things. I believe that God is true. And men, as they follow Satan, are liars. I believe that Satan is attacking the Word of God today. Satan does not want you to trust him. Satan does not want you to believe in him. Satan wants you to be confused. That's why he's causing all of this confusion in this world today. Listen, the bottom line is this, that you need to trust the Word of God. There are some facts to go along with it. I understand that. But God wants you, in the final analysis of the whole thing, to trust and rely only upon Him. Now, to help you to understand the truth of the King James Bible, I have written a small book. It is called The Old Black Book, The King James Bible. You can download this book for free if you go to www.independencebaptist.org. This is the church's website. When you get to the church's website, that's www.independencebaptist.org, go to the section called Online Books. That is the third link from the top on the left side of the page. At the very bottom of the page called Online Books, you will find a picture of the book. Right below the picture of the book is a link to the PDF file of the book. Simply click on the words PDF file and the book will be downloaded to your computer as a PDF file. It is as simple as that. There is no charge for the book at all. It's not a very big book. It's about 50 pages. It is completely free for you to read and to use. I only ask that you do a couple of things. Number one, please read the book. Number two, don't change anything that I've written. Okay?